it to load.
You did?
Yeah, and I was like, Brian, what's the password to your computer? Something's making me angry.
Thank you. You're dismissed, young people, for our children's church. And as they're going out, just a couple things draw your attention to in our worship folder. This Wednesday, we've got our midweek fellowship. So if you want to join us for some food and games, just hanging out during the week, 6 o'clock to 8 or so. I believe there's a couple people that are signed up for prime rib and pork chops. Is that right? Some have already said that they were. No one's going to volunteer for that. Peter is one of them. Micah's no, not you. I mean, did want to just remind you, a couple weeks down the road is Bear Paw, and one of the things that we're doing at Bear Paw in partnership with other churches is a hospitality tent. So if that's something you want to volunteer a few hours of your time during that festival, let me know, and we can get you a link to sign up for the various slots. And there's also, it's in your bulletin, about a mountain music festival if you're interested. It's out at Loretta French Park. That's in partnership with some various organizations in town. And if you're interested in that, the details are on there. And be a fun time to hang out with others. And I heard there's bluegrass in Alaska. So I kind of would like to get a whiff of that because I haven't heard bluegrass in a while. So if that's happening up here in Alaska, that sounds fun. Anyhow, I did want to just kind of transition into as we transition this morning's service, it's going to be a little different than we normally do. One of the things I like to have opportunity to speak to every year is to update the congregation and what's going on, not just at Skyline, but in our denomination. We are a Free Methodist Church. We are one of two Free Methodist churches in Alaska, and every year we meet for an annual conference. It's called Leadership Summit, and at that gathering, we have reports, we have celebrations, there's kind of an update on what's going on. And I think it's just important for us to have times to recognize that, but also speak to what are the things going on in our church. What is God doing in us? What is God doing through us? So I want to take time to do that. If you didn't know it already, our church, we have elected leaders and board members. So one thing I wanted to do is if there's board members here, if you'd stand up just so people know who you are. Tim's one of them in the back there. Oh, everybody is here. I was about to say we're missing one, but we're not. So these are your five elected board members. We meet monthly and make all sorts of decisions and have wonderful conversations and pray and seek God's guidance. And one of the things that we do along with having our leadership board is we elect a delegate that represents the church. And the delegate is Crystal Looney. And part of the role of the delegate is they're kind of your, there's things that you want to know what's going on in leadership, that's a person to talk to. If you want to know what's going on in the denomination, she's a point person for that. She represents specifically this congregation in the larger context of our denomination. So she went down to Wenatchee, Washington. If you've ever been to Central Washington, it's that fun little town on the Columbia River. It was like 95 and we were like loving it. Krista was not, but my family was like, yes. It was nice to sit out in the evening time and have a picnic and not be freezing. And we were there for a day and met, and I'm going to invite Krista up to tell you, just give you a synopsis of what happened with that. And then after she's done, we'll have a few other people share what's been happening. So Krista will come up here, his microphone, and we'll go from there. Thank you.
First of all, it's very humbling to be your representative, to go to these events, and stand with others. We are part of a much larger group. So anyhow, there were several speakers. One of them was, of course, Matt Whitehead, who is our superintendent at this time. And he brought forth that there are three changes that are coming up that are noteworthy. One is that he is retiring. So Matt Thompson, I'm sorry, the bishop is retiring. Three larger churches, two of which are coming from the Pacific Northwest Conference, are forming a new conference in and of their own. So they are separating those two larger churches are separating out of the Pacific Northwest Conference, and they're going to be called REACH. Superintendent Matt is one of five candidates who is in line to for voting for the new the position of bishop. The General Conference holds their conference every 4 years. This is the fourth year. That'll be in July. And that's when we will know who our new bishop is. So with the separation of these three larger churches within the Pacific Northwest Conference, they reflect some changes in leadership within the conference itself. So we did a lot of voting new people into these positions. It's also going to connect with finances. The Pacific Northwest Conference, beginning in 2020, will be down about $500,000 with their withdrawal. And they are making those adjustments. Yes? The conference will be down $500,000. Because these two churches are leaving and forming their own conference. So, yeah, thanks. Sorry, I will try and enunciate. We had our opening scripture was the scripture for the conference and with the theme of go and tell. So part of it being, and this was reiterated often throughout the whole theme of the day, is that we are all family and we are all part of the family of God, and part of our role is making sure that others know that it's not just for us, it's for everybody. And so our focus is to raise up leaders, make more church plants, revitalize existing churches, all within the realm of the Holy Spirit. And it's important for us to remember that we, as a church body, are being attacked. The enemy has a good, strong foothold right now. And so we need a lot of prayer, and we need a lot of guidance, and we need a lot of spiritual warfare type of things going on. So on a global level, so switch gears here, Bishop Thompson talked a lot about the Latin America churches. They are up 370 churches there. Those are new churches as of this year, making a total of 797 churches just in Latin America. And worldwide, we're in 104 countries as a denomination. So that's really neat. So 5 points of our belief are that we are to go and tell the good news. We are to be welcoming, not just friendly, but welcoming and interested in people who come to visit with us and to worship with us. We must trust God. We must be faithful to God. And we must remember that God, first of all, is trustworthy. Okay. There are 7 key elements that he brought up of effective evangelism. Devote yourself to prayer so that you are girded in prayer when you're talking to people, even if it's in the grocery store line. Seek opportunities for that open door that God presents with us with people who need Jesus. Simplify the good news. Don't just give scripture, but tell them how God's working in you. Pray for the freedom from fears that plague us, that is fears of rejection, fear that we're going to get judged. You know, all of those things, all of those fears that people who don't know Jesus have, we also have. You know, pray for clarity of our words and actions. Show consistency in your life and in your speech. So live out the truths of Jesus. And 7, pray for God's grace, that you have grace-filled and non-judging conversations when you talk to people. There was a guest speaker from the Exodus Church in Longview, Pastor Scott, and he talked about the omniscience of God, the all-knowingness of God, and God knowing who he's going to bring into his fold, as well as knowing who's going to be watering those seeds or planting those seeds. So he asked us to stay connected with and listen to what Jesus has to say, not to have our personal agenda of, oh, I'm just going to go out and save somebody. That's what I'm going to do today. But waiting for God to have to present those opportunities and being sensitive to the Holy Spirit working in you. Knowing that Jesus can remove and diminish all of our insecurities, we just need to ask him to do that. Remember that it's not my mission, taking it personally, my mission, but God's mission, and he is in charge, and he's going to make the opportunities happen. So, and we need to let go of the comparison game. We're not building our own castles. We're building the kingdom of God. So if we'll just take a moment, we'll just pray for the denomination itself and the Pacific Northwest Conference. Father God, we take this opportunity to lift up us as your church, as your congregation, as a part of a growing congregation in Alaska and the Pacific Northwest. We pray for those leaders that you have put into positions of authority. We pray for the switches and changes that are going on. We know that when we ask for your help, you give it. When we ask for your guidance, you give it. And as we lift up these leaders for your anointing, we just pray your Holy Spirit to wash over them, wash over us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Krista.
All that you do for our church and being there for us. We don't get a lot of time to know. We kind of think about just our little congregation in Eagle River in Alaska, and I think it's important for us to be aware that we are part of a bigger group of churches, not just the body of Christ, but a specific denomination that fits within our values and doctrine, and I think that's really helpful, and that's one of the reasons why I want to make sure that we have time to speak to that. But I also want to be able to say, speak to what specifically is going on in our church. And I thought it'd be good for one of our board members to come up and just give an overview of what has been happening in the leadership and in the life of our church from the leadership board's standpoint. And so I'm going to invite Tim to come, and he's got a couple of things to share regarding what God's doing here.
Morning.
Morning.
For the past year, the leadership board and Pastor Brian have been having plenty of discussions and praying about and concerned, which I think is obvious from those that you have been attending, that are numbers in our congregation has been pretty low. So the conference has also been concerned with that, and they were up a few months ago, some of the conference leadership, and we had some discussion with them. So as part of wanting to move forward and deciding what to do about it, which isn't always an easy answer, we've enlisted the help of a ministry coach that actually is part of the general denomination, which the general denomination headquarters is in Indianapolis. And Dr. David Brewer, some of you have met him. He and his wife were up here year and a half ago or so. She heads up the seed ministry. So anyway, Dr. Brewer was up here with her then. That's when most of us had a chance to meet him. Then he was up here a few weeks ago and met with the board. So we've enlisted his help. He's a ministry coach to help us work through where we are and discern and come up with a plan of where we need to go or where God wants us to move forward. So we'd just like to ask each of you to join with us in prayer, not only of getting a vision for what God wants us to do, but then also how to go there. So that's what Dr. Brewer is helping us, but we need God's help too. And we want all of you to be aware of what we're working on. And as we, you know, as new things develop and we're, what should I say, a little more enlightened as to what we need to do, we'll be sharing some of that with you. But we would just really covet everyone's prayer and support with giving us the direction that we need.
Thank you, Tim. One of the things I appreciate about Tim and the leadership board is that we're on the same page. And there's been this movement of just this urgency of, God, where are you moving in us individually, but as a congregation? And you know, conversations like that are not easy, but it's been really encouraging from my standpoint, and also just as a fellow believer, of the oneness of mine, the heart of, Jesus, what do you have in store for us? And, you know, I appreciate that, you know, not just the denomination and our conference is really wrestling with some transition stuff, but things are transitioning in us. And transitions and change is not bad. And I'm not even saying it's drastic, but it's important to say, okay, God, this is where we are, and here's where you're guiding us. And that transition period into that is really important, but it's also an unknown quantity. And I think fear and doubt could get involved, but it was also like, I think it's really important to acknowledge what things are happening as we actively wait for God's direction in that. I think it's important for us to say, hey, for you to know where your leadership team is involved and in what kind of things that we're doing, but also invite you into that process as Tim spoke to it. Be in prayer, not just for our church, but in our individual lives. What is God calling you into? How is God working in your life? And how does that interface with the community of believers that you worship with on a regular basis? And so I want to make sure that we say that, but also celebrate what God has done and he's been doing. I've been encouraged this year in the midst of some really interesting conversations, challenging conversations, enlightening ones. I've been really blessed to see this just gradual movement of things. And I could even go back, I could go back farther than this, but I think of Christmas. We had a really great Christmas season and a lot of cool outreach. I was encouraged in January when Dr. Oswalt came up here, and I think a lot of you were as well, as he just invited us into, what does it mean to go deeper in our relationship with Jesus? And we spent the time leading up to Lent and through Lent of prayerfulness. God, how do we not just say we believe and think that these are the ways to go, but what are the practical applications of life in Christ? And I was really encouraged in how we worked hard at with what we did with the Easter food bags led by Nancy and Tim and those that came alongside. We gave over 100 bags to families at Easter. I mean, that is awesome. I'm encouraged that this little congregation has an impact in the local community. It's not just a church that sits up on Skyline Drive, but we are regularly working with other churches to be missional, to say, Jesus, where are you at work and how can we partner in it? And I have regular conversations with other churches. We have various things that we're involved in the community, not just the things in our church, but opportunities outside our church as well. And I want to make sure that we speak to those. And one of them is in our backyard. It's actually just down the hallway, and it's Newborns in Need. And I want to make sure Chris had a chance to share what Newborns in Need does and some of the things that God has been doing through them. Because Krista's the president of the organization, and Kathy Williamson's, I believe, the treasurer. Is that right? Kathy's downstairs. And through that little room that you may not know even was there or what's in it, there's a lot of cool thing that God does. I want to make sure that Krista had a chance to speak to that, so I'll just defer to her for a few moments again.
I really don't do it all. I just do a part of things. So you could probably look in there in that room now, and I wouldn't be too awfully embarrassed, but we really look like hoarders back there. But it's really an awesome thing. We've put together 350 of those red essentials bags that I've shown you all before that have gone out to date this year, since January. So, and I have a real go-getter on the board that is connected with J-Bear, and she's bringing us all kinds of stuff from the thrift store. So much, in fact, that not only did we have that room packed, but we also have a storage unit. And I went to the storage unit for the first time in a year on Friday, and there's a little work to do there. But it's so exciting, and it's so exciting to be able to be this outreach and this to help these, you know, it's all about the babies, you know, because they're cute, they're like kittens and puppies, you know. But and helping the moms, but our name and everything suggests that it's all about the babies. But if we're helping supply the babies' needs, we're hoping that it's making a difference with those who are caring for them as well. And we are expanding into the valley, Wasilla and Palmer. I'm working with another volunteer group out there that is ready to launch, and so we're going to probably double the amount of bags we put together. We put together 50 bags a month at this point, and I know that outreach into the valley is just going to bloom as well. And God's been very faithful to us. At a point where we were ready to shut down within 2 months, Subaru donated $34,000. From there, our next project or our next thing that we needed was space, and you all have provided us space. And then the donations have started really coming in. And the third thing that we really needed was volunteers. And I have a group of volunteers who are consistently coming. And that group is growing. And we couldn't do it without Skyline. We just wouldn't be here. You know, our biggest concern now is we could take over the whole church, but we don't want to do that in all the baby stuff. And it's working with what we have and really trying hard to make sure that we're utilizing the space well. And you know, and it's been you guys praying for us. You know, we've passed out prayer cards in the past. I know God works. And because I know God works, I know he's going to work in the conference. I know he's going to work in our congregation. And I'm just thrilled. And I hope that I'm reflecting our gratitude to all of you for your support.
I might add to what Krista has to say is, on a regular basis, there are volunteers in here doing the work to make those bags go out. And I have to say, if you want opportunities to do help Krista out with some of those, make sure you talk to her afterwards. She can always use volunteers. As much as she has a lot of them, she still has more opportunities for that. And so if you want to get involved with that, you can. I do, you know, babies kind of are a theme. We help families in this community. And Crystal Kennedy and I are on a board of the Heart to Heart Pregnancy Resource Center. And that's another partnership of ministry that we have. And that, what do we do? About 1,100 clients come through a year, Crystal? At least 1,100, if not more. We give, there are pregnancy tests that are available. There's counseling. There's care. If families come in with need, we offer them an opportunity to give to get a bag of clothes, supplies, whatever they need once a month. And it's not just for the child to be or the newborn, it's for up to 4T. And so the Pregnancy Resource Center that Alicia Thomas is a director, and we've got several other board members, that's a vital community outreach that we do. It's not just valuing the newborn and the unborn, but it's saying, how can we walk alongside these families and support life? And that is a very important ministry partnership that this church not just financially supports, but supports with leadership as well. And the other place that I think is equally important in our community is a partnership that we have with Alaska Correctional Ministries. And through the leadership of Chaplain Deidre, she leads the TLC program. And she makes it possible for a team of us to go in once a month and do a service at the prison. And we regularly have 30 to 40 women at those services. And we have opportunity not just to preach and do Bible study, but to pray. And it's a really important ministry. I don't think we realize the impact of how, yes, people are in prison for a reason, but it's not as simple as that. There's often so many things that go into play that has led them to that place. And just because they find themselves in prison doesn't mean that Jesus can't be redemptive and create new pathways and open new opportunities. But it's tough. And it's incredibly difficult road that these individuals have ahead of them. And it's people that come in and build relationship and share Jesus and walk with them, not just in the process of being in prison, but when they get out. And I just wanted to have a chance for Deidre just to share a couple things that have been going on at TLC, and for then afterwards for us to pray for her and Krista and Heart to Heart. For those are the places that Skyline has chosen to be involved in ministry. So I'll let Deidre come up, share a few minutes, and then we'll pray for her and others.
Good morning. So first of all, I too, like Krista, want to just give a real heartfelt thanks for all the support that Skyline gives to Alaska Correctional Ministries. I'm specific to TLC Women's, but we are also supporting the Men's TLC, correct? It's been a kind of a turbulent year. We've had lots of moves, men in and out of the women's prison, back to, so the women being kind of dumped into general population, which is a difficult place to be when you're trying to program and remove yourself from the negative thinking and the things that cause the struggle that take you to prison. But anyhow, in the last year we've had 11 baptisms, a significant portion of those being, actually those were all TLC women. I did 6 of those myself, so that was really exciting. We had 3 women give their life to Christ in the TLC community. However, most of the time, by the time the women get to TLC, they've already been through an avenue of giving their lives to God, whether that be because prior to coming to prison they had a relationship, or through a service, maybe one that Skyline's come in and done, or one of the many churches that come in and do services at different times on different weekends, morning, evening. I think that we're having a significant impact in many ways, and I want to touch on all, if I can, Brian, just quickly, on all the different ways that this church impacts the women. So I think it's really hard to come to the acknowledgement that God has a significant role in your life if you've lived a life that's been pretty traumatic, which is the case with most of the women coming through our program. But when a ministry like Nancy's, who provides a box to a TLC graduate who's coming out of prison with hygiene and clothing, it's another way of God saying to that individual, I'm here, I'm taking care of you, I'm present, I can meet your needs. It may seem like a small thing, but if you could see the reaction when someone is as kind to receive a box full of just hygiene and simple clothing items, things that we probably just don't even think about from a day to day, the impact that that has. The cookies that we send at Christmas time to the families, we send a lot of cookies out to different places, but specifically sometimes to the TLC families, the family can then see, hey, what's going on in my child's life? This child of mine who's been in and out of prison, struggling with addiction, breaking laws, all of a sudden there's these people saying, hey, your child's thinking about you, they put your name on this list. It's another way of God's presence, not just being in the life of the individuals we're working with in TLC, but in the lives of the families, saying it's, again, a place where God reaches out. So we're reaching out in ways that are very tangible to the people that we're reaching to. And, of course, we do Christmas bags. We did them for the men and the women this year, which was a huge deal. Some of those people don't have any family. Some of those people are coming from small villages. So when Skyline takes the prison ministry team in and hands these gifts out, and gifts that have cards from our children's ministry, that's always like the big thing for them. They get these cards from the children in our church that Gretchen takes the time to work with to write these little notes to put in Christmas bags to these men and women who are in prison. The tears fall. They're like, wow, there's somebody teaching their child to love a prisoner. And so, again, it speaks to God's love. So we're doing, this church is doing so much. Pregnancy Crisis Center, I sent two people there this year that were supported by them. I took one bag from Newborns in Need to our transitional house. So we're having a reach in lives of prisoners, and it really speaks to God's love to them, which brings the catalyst for the change that keeps them out of prison, which benefits everybody, from them to their children to their parents to us, the taxpayers, to whoever. It makes a difference. So Skyline's having a great impact. I'm excited to be there. The women that we're ministering to, it's getting harder. They seem to be more broken, younger. It's been a difficult year watching the young women come through the doors and trying to help them recognize that, first of all, there's Jesus, and second of all, that Jesus can change your life, but there's hope. As times are changing and as crime rises, it's impacting us, but it's impacting them, and some of them, that's all they know. So just, we appreciate continued prayer. We appreciate continued support, because it is God amidst TLC that allows these women and men, a lot of men. They just had a graduation. They had 12 men graduate last month from the TLC after being moved to a very difficult place, difficult prison to program in. They managed to hang in there and get it done without computers and golf pencils, just things that, I don't know, it's a lot that you guys probably wouldn't understand. But anyhow, God is amidst working in the prisons, and Skyline has its hand in there, and I'm very grateful. I want to very thankful for those of you that support me just as friends and support financially in the ways that you also reach out into the prison. So thanks, Brian.
Thank you for sharing. You know, I can't reiterate how much it means to these individuals for us to just make ourselves available in various ways. And as Deidre was sharing, I was just reminded of this passage I want to read. And you might have, I don't know if you referenced it last week or not, but I want to, just in case she didn't, I want to bring it to you. Matthew 25, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and the angels with him, he'll sit on his throne, and before him he'll be gathered all the nations, and he'll separate people from one another as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. And he'll place the sheep on the right, goats on the left. And he'll say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick and in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothed? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, truly I say to you, you did it to the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. And these are just three examples of places that our congregation has reached out and visited and cared for and clothed and prayed for. And those are not little things. I have seen the tears of men and women that are just reading over those cards and thankful for the toothbrush. I'm never going to forget the guy that said, I was wondering where I was getting my toothbrush today when we brought him the Christmas gifts. A toothbrush. I take it for granted, and probably so do you. I mean, it's the little things that God often invites us to that has incredible impact. And all it is saying, are you available and are you willing to let Jesus work through you? And I don't want to miss celebrating those ways that our church steps into those places. But I also want to say, okay, God, what else do you have in store for us? What else are you inviting us into? What else are you doing? And so I want to say a prayer over these areas of ministry, and then we have one more individual that we have to share for us. God, I thank you for Krista and Alicia and the Heart to Heart Pregnancy Resource Center. Thank you for Chaplain Deidre and Alaska Correctional Ministries and the New Hope House and the Men's Transitional House and all those chaplains and people that work in these capacities and the volunteers. God, these are places that you invite us to go to clothe, to provide food, and to visit and care for and love, even in situations that we often try to avoid. And God, I ask that you show us how to continue to support those and celebrate and continue to be the hands and feet of your son, Jesus. Give Deidre strength as she is a chaplain in a very difficult situation. Give Krista the strength she needs as she leads this organization into new seasons of fruitfulness and navigating some of those spaces and places of what growth looks like. And we lift up Alicia as she is a director over Heart to Heart, and for the various board members that give leadership to that and reaching out into that population, into that place of need. God, continue to love in those ways that remind people that you're a God that not only creates, but you're a God that cares, and you're a God that wants to be redemptive. And Lord, we thank you for those places and spaces and those leaders that have stepped into that those roles, and we ask that you bless them and continue the work you're doing in and through them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And then the last speaker, I want to say a little personal, but a couple weeks ago, it's probably, 6 or 7 weeks, but my wife had the chance to go overseas to a place in the Middle East, and I wanted her to have a chance just to share about what she did and what God was doing through that, and it's kind of a teaser of some things that are to come later on in the year. But at this time, I'll invite Karen to come and share. And because we are live, recording live, and the nature of her topic, we're going to record, we're going to pause the recording. So if anybody's watching live, sorry. But we just can't broadcast some of the things that she's going to share. And then we'll set up when she's done. But Karen, glad to have you. Yes. And Teresa, you can start up.
One last update that I just wanted to share about the general conference and about the from PNW conference. Krista already mentioned that Bishop Matt Thomas was retiring. So it is Bishop Matt Thomas. It is also Bishop Roller and Bishop Kendall that are also retiring, which is the three bishops that are over the global Free Methodist Church. And so the general conference will be in July for us to be selecting an entire new leadership team of bishops. So I just, Brian, with him being an elder in the nomination, and then I was nominated to represent the Pacific Northwest Conference at general conference. So we will be there in July, but I do ask that you will pray for those of us that are going, who will be voting, who will be involved in conversations that are happening on the Free Methodist global level, that you will just be in prayer for that also.
Thanks for adding that piece. So just to close our time together, recapping, what does it mean to go and tell? That story of Jesus going to the man that's possessed, and the man's life is radically changed, and he wants to go with Jesus. And he said, well, the best way that you can go with me is to go back and tell. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted us to share stories of what God is doing, because that's the telling component. But there's also that aspect of, like, what is God calling us into? And in our congregation and our leadership, we're asking those questions. God, who have we been? Who are we? And what are you wanting us to continue? What are the places that we are invited to continue telling the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ? But there's also some things that we'll continue doing, some things that we might modify, some things we might stop, and there's probably going to be new things that we didn't even anticipate. Above all, there's that posture saying, Jesus, how can we listen? How can we wait? But how can we be preparing to move when he says go? And I was thinking of two passages just to close our time. The one I've kind of wrestled with is John 17. That's the prayer of Jesus for his disciples. He's like, God, there's things changing. I'm leaving, and my disciples will follow after me. And he says this beautiful prayer, and it's wrapped up in the sense of saying, God, they've seen you through me, but I'm not going to be here anymore. Will you let others see me through the way they love and the way they live out this faith that they have discovered? And I think of that. What will people see in us by the way we love and the way we live. And one of those other aspects that got played out in the life of the early church was in Acts 15, when there's this huge potential divide that could have just fractured the church, and the leadership came together and they listened and they prayed. And in the end of this conversation that's called the Jerusalem Council, and they're discussing how to reach out to the people groups of the Gentiles. This has been a predominantly Jewish movement, and it's going into the regions of the empire of the Romans. And they're saying, how do we be faithful to the message of Jesus? And they come to this decision, and the one phrase that has always stuck in my mind, it says, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to the leadership and to the elders and to the disciples that this is a direction they should go. And so in our congregation, individually, we're asking the question, God, how are you inviting us to love well, and to live it out? But there's also that sense as a community of faith, as a collective gathering of people that worship regularly, that this is our church home, there is a direction for this congregation to move. And there is, on many levels, saying, God, what is that? And we're going to anticipate actively waiting and listening. But trusting that the Holy Spirit, when He speaks, it will seem good, not just to the Holy Spirit, but to us. And there will be movement. In that story in Acts 15, after the admonition of the Holy Spirit and the direction the church is given, they blessed the leaders to say, okay, this is how we are going to move forward from this time forward. And the gospel explodes. Go read the story, chapter 15 and beyond of Acts. And I hold that hope for us. What is God doing in and through us, individually and corporately? And how is He desiring His kingdom to explode? Not because of anything we do. We just get to participate in it. And so I hope this morning has been informing, but also in a sense of saying, here's who we are and here's what God's doing. And for you to ask the question, what is your role in that? What is God doing in you, and how is He inviting you to walk into that? So let me close this in prayer, and John's going to come up and sing our final song. God, thank You for the stories to share, the reports, and to hear what You've been up to and what You're doing now and where You might be leading us. God, we just want to surrender and humble ourselves into that space, and also anxiously anticipate what that new season looks like. And God, may we be faithful and may we be obedient to walk into it, whatever that looks like. And we pray these things in Jesus' name, amen.